We're a kid. Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
The Bible tells you so,
and the Spirit of God reveals that it is so. Praise the Lord. Children, you're dismissed to Ignite. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Opening your Bibles. We're going back to Titus just for a few moments, and then we're going to be into the Gospel of Matthew. All right? Will Jesus find you ready? Jesus finds you ready. And the songs that we sang this morning are so pertinent to the message. How marvelous is this? And Titus in chapter 2. And will Jesus find you ready? Now, we have been studying in and around here for several weeks now. And I just want to bring clarity, or just bring some reminder, some remembrance, some refreshment of this passage about looking for the soon coming and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we're going to go into Matthew, okay? So we're beginning at verse number 11 of Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who were zealous for good works. Declare these things, Titus. Exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard thee. My dear friends, the closer you live to the Lord and serve the Lord, the greater the battles will be. And as we come nearer and nearer to the return of Christ, and knowing that the spiritual warfare, everything is going to intensify more and more, and as the Bible says, the latter days it'll become spiritually dark, many will defect from the faith, and many will sleep and slumber and be caught unawares. And we know that day is coming. There's a great old song, and maybe we should have Brother Rich sing it for us, The Midnight Cry. And great song, The Midnight Cry. And it is the shout of the bridegroom and calling for his children to come up. Do you ever wonder what Jesus will say when he shouts for the church? What's he going to say? Come up! Church, rise! You know, but we'll hear it, we'll know. And when the Lord calls for his people, these three powers, now get back into Matthew, looking for that glorious appearing, soon coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the grace of God has appeared. and teaching us. And so keeping our hearts fresh in the Lord, fighting the battles, fighting them in the Spirit of God, and truly living for Christ. And here in this parable, this is in Matthew chapter 25. It's a rather popular parable. I never preached on this parable before. And so it is good. Won't exhaust it in a matter of 25 minutes. But it really speaks to our hearts. And to close of the service, we'll sing the old song, "Will He Find You Watching? Will Jesus Find You Watching? Waiting, waiting, and watching. And while we're waiting, serving with our lamps all trimmed and bright." There's much to put us to sleep spiritually in this day, isn't there, church? So much. The burdens, the cares, the weariness of serving the Lord, the battles. We all need to pray one for another and keep serving the Lord with gladness. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And everything done for the Lord, that is what will last. And He won't miss anything. He's the Lord. And He loves you. Who does Jesus love? Say me.
Me.
Me. Me. Amen. This is the middle of three parables. And it's a continual discourse. And the first parable there being in the previous chapter is just about the wise servant. And that has to do with your public service unto the Lord. Then we move into 25 where we have the virgins. And this is about your individual life. And then we move into the next one about the talents. And that has to really do with royal matters. In your service unto the Lord, serving Him, serving Him. The first one is about, as you serve Him, you're serving out here. And tremendous. This parable, the emphasis here on the parable of the 10 virgins is about life. Not really about works. It's about your life. And being in constant preparedness and readiness for the shout of the Lord. When He comes for you, if we are alive and are remaining here for the Lord's coming and meet Him in the rapture, or He comes to us one at a time. When the bridegroom comes to meet his bride, however that is, will you be ready? Did you ever notice this last year or two, especially the last year, people are dying younger again? We're dying younger. And the scripture says that in the latter day, men's hearts will fail them out of fear. Just the weight and the anguish and the fear of this culture, our world. So we stay fresh in the Word. And you keep coming to church. You keep coming to church. We'll hear the Word. You sing together. You interact with each other. Don't stop coming to church. Not because the preacher says so, because he commands it in Hebrews. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the coming of the Lord is near. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. The five wise, the five foolish. The whole theme here is about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man in your heart, dearly beloved. 25, verse 1, then the kingdom, and that's why he starts it with then. And then something starts a chapter with then. Why then? Because it's a continual discourse. And so when Jesus was teaching this, it wasn't chapterized, so to say. It's a continual discourse. And so, let's just read verse 51, which is the last verse of chapter 24. And the Lord says, and we'll cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. And in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, as the bridegroom was delayed, hold it, but for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, well, since there will not be enough for us and for you, you go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Neither the day nor the hour. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We do not know when the Lord comes for his church as the body, we rise. We do not know when he comes for us one by one. A friend of Cindy and I, this gentleman, his brother, this past week, a young man just dropped over. We're more frail than we think we are. Watchfulness. So this is about here, the kingdom of God in your heart, being prepared, ever watching, ever ready, ever waiting, fighting the good fight of faith, defeating sin and keeping the heart and the eyes focused on Christ, serving him, you know, just moving and preparing. You know, it's not enough just to watch for the Lord's return. Now, you're expecting a bunch of family to come to your house, right? And they're coming for a meal, right? You're coming for all kinds of good time and what have you. So you keep watching out the window. But while you're watching out the window, you're preparing for their arrival, right? Or you're getting all that good foods ready and you have the house smelling good and all the aroma of roast beef all the way down to shrimp and what have you. And everything's there and you're just cooking away and it's good, and you're having the table all beautifully set. You're preparing while you're watching. You're watching while you're preparing. You look out, are they here yet? Are they here yet? Are they coming yet? And next thing you know, you see the cars pulled in the driveway. Well, now it's just about time to get on the move here. It's the same concept here. You're watching for the Lord's return. You're waiting for his soon and glorious appearing. You're listening every day for him to shout, come up, church. Or you're ready at any moment, he's going to visit you with death here, taking you home there. the five wise, the five foolish. No one knows when this great interruption's going to happen, either in your life personally or for the church in the whole world. It's just going to be an amazing thing. And so when we are not living in a way that we are constantly in a preparedness for the Lord, we get careless. Careless. And those sayings of the Lord come into a deep, dangerous reality in our own life. Where is the promise of His coming? The mockers and the scoffers, and sometimes that happens in your own heart. Or we think we have more time. I have more time. You know, that is one of the devil's most used and most successful tools in any person's life. You don't need to get saved now. Just, you got time for that. Time for that. And you'll put it off. Put it off. The old song. Then all of a sudden, two men are walking up the hill. One is taken, the other left standing still. A man and woman asleep in bed. She hears a noise, she turns her head and he's gone. Oh, I wish we all were ready. Ready. That takes you back about 50 years right there, that song. I wish we'd all been ready. And what a great day that's going to be for the church, a tragic day for others. The expectation of Christ's coming commands your day. Commands your day. Honestly speaking now, dear one, in your heart unto the Lord, how many times this past week did the thought come through your heart and your mind that the Lord could come today? You turn the key on your car and you get out into the highways. How many times did it pass your mind when this journey, I might not get back home? How many times when you're pulling on your boots, tying on your shoes, slipping into your sandals, you put them on? Does it ever cross your mind? Do you ever think, oh, I'm tying them up. Somebody else may be untying them at the end of the day. Somebody else is going to pull my boots off. Somebody else is going to slip off my sandal. The Lord's return is always that close. Always. To be in constant and in ready watchfulness. Now here in our lesson, the lamps that it speaks about, it adds a brilliancy to it. Now, and it was lamps, they were usually on a little thing or about that long, a pole or whatever. And it was their light. It was their light. And he always carried a little flask of oil. They carry a little flask of oil with them, that's what they would use to replenish the lamps. And whatever they needed in there to trim the lamp a little bit. You know, whenever you have a lamp and you burn it, you don't keep it trimmed right. It gets horns on the end of it, right? And it just doesn't do right in the middle and it throws ugly black smoke. You got to keep the wick trimmed. But they always carried extra oil. Because then a wick that is trimmed right will shine the brightest. And it adds a brilliancy, and it just, while we're waiting for the Lord's return. So the five wise, they had their lamps trimmed, and they had extra oil. Extra oil. And it's a very sad story for the five foolish. It's a sorrowful thing. And we find that the Lord, you know, these lamps, it is the same lamp that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Letting your light so shine. The virgins trimmed their lamps so that the light would shine. It's the same word. Letting your light shine before others. And so remember when Jesus, so when he comes and he's preaching, you remember the first words that he said as a young preacher in the synagogue and they handed him the scroll. And he stood to read. From Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." So you keep your lamp trimmed by staying in the Word of God. As you stay in the Word of God, this ancient Word, the Spirit of God upon the Word of God in the hearts of the people of God. For the Word cuts, the Word disciplines, the Word heals, the Word instructs, the Word exalts. You stay in the Word, instructed in this ancient Word of God, and just going back to the old paths. And people think that's all about tradition. No, it's not about tradition. The old paths are walking humbly with your God, fearing God, fighting the good fight of faith. As you cry out to God, "God, help me, establish me, keep me." You stay instructed in the Word. If you had to, my dear loved ones, if you had to stand and to say how many verses of Scripture you read this past week, what would the number be? Would you be glad to do so? How much time was there alone with the Lord in prayer? And as you fight, you just fight the fight of faith. As you serve the Lord with all your heart, and this great warfare goes on inside. The flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And you hold others dear to your heart, others that are going through the same battle. You hold them and you embrace them and you pray for each other. You help each other. You're there for brothers and sisters. You're there for one another. It's a battle. It's a hellish battle. It is a warfare that's going to continue on. It's going to get worse as the days get darker and darker. And the moment you and I be lax and fail to stay in the Word of God in on our faces in prayer, we're in trouble. The light, there are many lamps going out. They're going out. The bridegroom is close. Did you ever notice as you read this? I mean, this was a wedding day. This was a wedding day. And the bridegroom was late in this parable. Well, it's gone through the afternoon. Weddings began, and they were like 2-3 days a week sometimes, and all the celebration. And the bridegroom hasn't shown yet. Now, if you've ever been to a wedding, which the bride or the bridegroom, neither one of them or one of them hasn't showed yet, that is a, ooh, that's tough. I never have. But it happens. But the bridegroom is late. Where is he? Now notice here it says they all slumbered and slept. All of them. Not only the foolish, but so did the wise. So the lesson here is, church, don't fall asleep. Don't get lazy spiritually. Don't let the flesh take over. How easy can it happen? Look at the top three, Peter, James, and John, with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And who can measure the agony that Christ was going through? And they fell asleep. So they fall asleep. You fall asleep. So he's using the physical example here of what happens spiritually. You fall asleep. They all fell asleep. The wise, along with the foolish. And suddenly, the shout came. The bridegroom is here. Rise. Come. Bridal party. Come. Meet him. Oh, imagine when the girls started hustling and bustling and getting themselves all fixed up. There's the bridegroom, and we're in the train, we're in the party. And so they get their lamps, and oh, the lamps are burning out, and the five wise, they get in their bags quickly, and they trim the wick, and they get their little flask of oil out. Look, okay, and here we go. They got their lamps. The five foolish. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Please give us some of your oil. Please, that we may have enough. So we can't. If we give to you, we won't have enough. Almost sounds a little cruel, doesn't it? But it isn't. Because each one is responsible for your own life, for your own readiness, for your own preparedness. Each one must be born again. Each one must be in that personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're watching and waiting for the Lord's return. It's not a cruel thing. Well, rather, you're going to have to go get your own. You better hurry. And while they were out, the door was shut. And they came back. And they knocked on the door. They knocked on the door. They knocked on the door. Let us in. And he said, I do not know you, the Lord said. I don't know you. What's all this mean? I don't know you. Well, surely you know me. I preached, I taught, I counseled at camp. I went here and I went there. Surely you know me. I sang in the choir. I played the instruments. I witnessed. You surely know me. You have to know me. You know me. I know you not. And you know. And he says, just go. And these will be they who will stand before the Lord at the great white throne, crying him, Lord, Lord, did we not? Just like what we just rehearsed. He says, I don't know you. You were never one of mine. People with a form of Christianity, a form of religion, a professing to be of Christ and are not. They experience that first movings of grace in the life. They felt the call. They were in the congregation when they sang the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. That they never trusted Christ from their heart. They never went on to follow him, which is the call of discipleship. I will follow you, Master, wherever you lead me. My sheep, Jesus says, hear my voice. And they follow me. They follow me. They know of me as they read my word. They know my spirit to lead them. They grow in me. They are established in me. Their thoughts are constantly upon me. You know, and the one that you love dearly is in your heart. That's where your thoughts are. That's where your mind is. You're constantly in the mind of Christ. Is he constantly in yours? So that's why it is the word. You love songs, you love singing, you love new songs, old songs, you love songs. But my dear friends, you're going to be in the word. A lot of songs speak scripture. But you cannot substitute, my dear loved ones. Not being in the word, learning and growing in a miraculous thing always happens and takes place as your heart increases and enlarges in the Lord. Scripture, because the word of God is true. True. It is sharp. It is living. It is active. It is true. When you and I get lax in the word, our love for the Lord, the lamp goes down. We let other priorities come in the way and we pursue them. The Lord Jesus Christ. Readiness is the condition of entrance. Readiness and a heart in love with Jesus beating for him and with him every day is a life that is ready constantly. You've heard me say, and I say it again, and if you get that news sometime, Pastor Phil's dead. He's gone. He was killed early this morning or later this afternoon. Or however it happened. Don't you believe it for a moment, because I'll be more alive than I ever was. Or if you go to the grave by way of a long, consuming, horrible walk of death like cancer that just eats you away, or diabetes and what have you, sooner or later, death comes to us all. Oh, and will he find you watching and waiting? This shutting of the door is the same way with Noah and the ark. The door was shut. The five wise and the guests all were in. And the door was shut. What's that mean? It means all opportunity to amend the life is past. When the Lord comes, calls you away one by one, or as the body, when you find yourself, you will find yourself just as you were before he called you. You will find yourself on that entrance, either with Christ, safely in the banquet hall, in the glories of heaven, or you'll lift up your eyes in the agony of a horrible hell. It's done. All opportunity is past. That's why the Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing. The bridegroom is coming. In church, it's the bride of Christ. It's what we make of ourselves before we die or at the rapture is what we find ourselves as we stand on the edge of eternity. When you stand on the edge of eternity, moments after you have passed or called away, is it going to be a happy thought for you in reality? Or is it going to be one filled with anguish and awfulness? And the worst part about hell is that many will say, I don't have to be here. I shouldn't be here. And that is what will gnaw at the conscience in agony forever. For the chaste virgin, the joys of glory. And she sees her beloved groom. He embraces, says, welcome home, my love, welcome home. The final severance of good and evil, may we say, is foreshadowed here as well. It's foreshadowed. It will happen. Remember when the disciples, when there was problems and difficulties, you know, in the synagogue and among the peoples, and should we just go ahead and start throwing out the tares? And Jesus says, no. Number one, he says, you don't know who they are. Only I know that. He says, if you do it, you may uproot the good. you may uproot the good. Just let them grow together. I am the one who does the separating. I am the Lord. So till that day, here upon this earth, the righteous and the unrighteous are intermingled. And once one is ushered into the glories of heaven, bliss forever, once one is exiled to the pit of hell, it's hell forever, and there's no changing it. It's about today. You don't know if you have tomorrow. Doesn't Jesus teach very simply, don't worry about tomorrow? For sufficient are the troubles for today, your concerns for today, being constant preparedness for today. We take that verse and we say, well, don't worry about it. God will pay your bills. Don't worry about it. You'll get better. Now, the whole point and punch of that message is first and foremost about living in love and relationship and constant preparedness for the Lord's return today. She says, and plus, I'll take care of all your needs. The Lord Jesus Christ. So it cannot be questioned, but that practically to each and every one of us, the moment of the bridegroom's coming is the moment of death. When he comes, when he calls your name. Oh, we'd all rather go in the rapture, but then we ask the next question. Will everybody seated in here this morning go in the rapture? Will you? The Lord alone, and you know that. Or the Lord alone knows it, and you're confused about it. When the Bible says, these things are written, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. So be wise. Wise. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise, soul. Rise. Meet this. This is death. Well, November 7th, the bridegroom came for Dad. Rise, soul. Rise. The bridegroom is here for you. And his eyes opened up. Bang! And away he goes. Rise, soul. You're about just fractions of seconds away from a psh. Woo! Rise, soul. I don't see me coming out of this here. Cancer eats you away. The Christian rejoices, saying, this is only for a little while, and it'll be rise, soul. Yeah. Or all of a sudden, whatever the accident may be. Or the sadness. You know, these were those, take note here, who were left behind outside the door. They once stood in the Savior's train. Did they lose their salvation? No. Were they ever Christ's heart and soul? No. In their mind, perhaps, but not in their heart and soul. Christ will not leave anybody behind. And there are some people who say this, and they write on this chapter, and they say, well, only those that are fully sanctified will go, and the rest will be left behind until they get it all completed. That is a bunch a falsehood lie. You're Christ and you're His. People who sat with the congregation, who served in the church, who took the ordinances, but they were never Christ. And it'll be a tragic thing. For you see, even being in the church for years and you think you're saved, then the old devil in the flesh starts to convince you that you are saved. It's a terrible place to be in. Just ask the Lord where you are with Him, or if you aren't with Him, plead with Him. He doesn't fool around. And He says, anybody who calls on my name will be saved. Everybody who believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth that Christ is Lord shall be saved. Being in constant preparedness. Those left behind, the grace of God appeared to them, but the heart never embraced. They were never born again. In the Lord, these will cry out, Lord, Lord. So friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Titus 2, living your life, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. All who will believe, to all who will believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go on then, you live your life in adorning the gospel. Because you're no longer your own. In Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. I'm not my own anymore. I'm dead. I've been purchased by Christ. The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be where you want me to be. I will become just like you. So my light shines for people so that the fruit of the Spirit be so alive in my life, and then the fruit will hang down from the bough, from the boughs of the tree and the limbs, and they'll come and they'll pluck and they'll eat and they'll taste and they'll be drawn to Jesus. That's your life, Christian. It's a life that is prepared to meet the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the cross. Christ died for you. He paid for your sins. He brought you by grace into His family. What are you doing with that? Go shine your light. Keep your lamp trimmed, strong, filled up in the Word of God and the Spirit of God, fresh, keeping you fresh, harboring no sin or whatever, just fighting the good fight of faith, bringing your sins before the Lord. There ain't nobody that's sinless. And I'll tell you, friend, the closer you live to the cross, the closer you live for the heart of God, the devil's going to bring an all-out attack on you. But you aren't untouchable if you stay close to Jesus. Hide in the cross. Hide in the rock. Hide in that tower. You're safe. Fight a good fight of faith, my dear friends. Fight. Fight with all that is within you. May the flesh be destroyed. Fight. And when the bridegroom comes, say, well done. He'll just say, come here, my bride, come here. It's time for you to be out of that hellhole of a world. You're home now. Come, come, take your rest. You'll kiss the groom. Is that what you're living for? I hope so, because I sure am. Yeah, keep pressing on. Keep fighting a good, strong fight. Okay. Keep in the Word. Keep in prayer. Keep saying no to the flesh. Live according to the doctrines. Go back into Titus 2. Go back in here to Matthew 25. Then while you're there, go to Genesis 1 and read the rest of it. Pray for one another. Be bold in your faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Dear God, I pray everybody in here is prepared. All people say, I'm ready to go home to be with. Are we? Are we? For the heart is a very deceiving thing. And yet the beauty, the truth of your word says you can know that you have eternal life. That fellowship, that intimacy with Christ by the Spirit of God and the love of the Father, it's all through your heart. Oh, dear Jesus, when we long to come home, when we long to be out of the flesh, where we'll know no more warfares, when we long to be in your embrace, be there where the Bible says that in the Father's house, we are in, there's just like a fullness of joy. All is well in our Father's house. And that's where we want to be. That's where we live in our lives every day to be. And while we're watching and waiting for that call to go home, we are just living for you, Lord. By thy grace and thy fullness, as we ingest the word and feed on you in prayer and just go forth in great humbleness. Working while it is yet day, for night comes when no man will work. We thank thee for the Bible. All these beautiful scriptures. Lord, may our hearts ingest and be embraced by your word. Restore your servants in here today. Refresh each one in the love of Christ. Inspire, empower to trust you even more and press on serving you here. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. And live our lives faithfully to you. And God, I pray, oh, how my heart prays, that there will not be one person, one precious soul that attends the Green Spring First Church of God, this precious flock, not one be absent. And they won't be if they are Christ's. Oh, Lord, we stop the foolishness and live for what and for whom we were destined to live. Let it be so. Amen and amen. Shall we stand as we sing? Will he find you watching? You need the grace of God in your heart. You come. You want to pray. You come. You know what you need to do. The Spirit of God has shown that to you. Obey, and how happy your heart will be.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. Have we been true to the trust He left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is naught condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in His glory they shall share. If He shall come at the dawn or midnight, will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for a soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Labor on, church. Every day present yourself to the Lord. Grow in Him and His love, because He loves you. He loves you. He wants to love more people as He loves you, and He does. He needs you to get to them. He needs you to get to them. He loves the world. He loves the world. He sent His only Son. You are of the world, and now you are of Christ. All because of the cross. You never know when He's going to call your name. Never know. Live for that moment. Amen. Come on. Amen. Father, oh, You've been so merciful to us. You gave us another Sunday morning to hear the precious Word of God, to be challenged deep in our soul. Lord, we bless You. And while it is yet day, we live for You. Thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, Your goodness, Your kindness, Your power, Your holy beauty. It's ours for the adorning. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.